In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Merry Christmas. As we continue on with the 12 days, no matter what the shopping malls tell you, we're still in Christmas. From Paul's letter to the Galatians. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. I want to preach today about being a child. A child of God. It is a concept and a reality to which we are perhaps especially attuned at Christmas. We have the baby Jesus. We have the glorious procession of our children to set up the creche on Christmas Eve at the early service. It was particularly glorious this year. And of course, we have the Christmas pageant. Children everywhere, joyful children. Children whose very eyes sparkle like ornaments with Christmas glee. We are brought back to our own childhood. Few of us have become so numb as to fail to recall the expectation of going to bed Christmas Eve night, the Christmas tingle. It was a wonderful card I got, Christmas card I received a year ago of a young woman with her head on the pillow, dreaming the night before Christmas. It was something like a cartoon bubble with her thoughts. There was glitter and presents and Christmas dinner and stockings and candy canes and grandma and grandpa and lit up tree and glowing fire. It was a wonderful Victorian card. It was sort of sugar plums times 10. So children, Christmas children. So when St. Paul says that we are children of God, and John says today of the Word made flesh, to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. What bubble appears over our heads? What are we being introduced to here? In what glorious ways exactly are we children of God? Well, we begin with Jesus. First, it was God's will that he be a child, that he live a childhood himself, that in every way he experience life as we do. When Jesus speaks about childhood, he does so as one who really knows what it is and means. And this is what he tells us in Matthew's gospel. And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. This theme of becoming as little children to enter the kingdom of God, in fact, appears in all four Gospels in one form or another. It was clearly a central teaching of Jesus. There is something about the spirituality of a child to which we are being called, an openness, a humbleness, a lack of worldliness and world weariness, to which Jesus points. And of course, a spiritual freshness, receptivity, equality, and lack of phony sophistication. In Jesus' teaching about being children of God, his focus seems principally to be spiritual in nature, a way of living openly, humbly, and with simple faith and trust. I encountered a little of this spiritual difference Jesus seems to be pointing to during the recent pre-Christmas shopping frenzy. There was an older man out with his wife and clearly not enjoying himself trudging through Marshalls. The man sort of exuded a big grump with every step. His wife finally turned to him and said, "Joe, it's Christmas. Where's your holiday spirit?" And the man chimed back, "Christmas is for kids." Well, if Jesus were there, perhaps he would have done an intervention, called a little child over from the toy section and said, "Joe, you can be a blessed child again. Really, you can be just like this little one. If your heart changes, you will see the kingdom of God." So it is with this spiritual transformation to which we are called that Jesus is pointing. And yet there's more. Why does Jesus teach us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven"? In fact, in the Aramaic language Jesus used, he said, "Abba," which means roughly translated, "Daddy." So strongly is this word preserved in the tradition that when St. Paul writes to the Galatians in Greek, he retains the Aramaic, telling them, "And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." So God is our Father. The relationship we have is that of Daddy, with all the fundamental sense of trust and of obedience and of protection and coming before in confidence and, of course, for loving wisdom and care. Yet, of course, we understand that our sense of being God's child is not the same as Jesus' relationship to the Father. This is part of what St. Paul is teasing out in his letter today. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. We are then adopted children in and through Jesus' sonship. He is our Lord as well as our brother. We are being brought into his pre-existing relationship, an eternally begotten relationship, as we say in the Creed, of the Father and the Son. So St. Paul says, precisely because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. It is the Spirit of Jesus in us, in our hearts, sent by the Father, that forms and seals the relationship such that we can call out as Jesus himself, Abba, Father. St. Paul also tells us that we are heirs. We, as children, do have an inheritance. We are in the will. We are heirs with Christ. Now, finally, Paul sees children as free, really free. Paul regarded the law as a kind of slavery, but now sees us free there as well. Like children are on a different plane than the servants of the house. The law was only a caretaker, a custodian, a disciplinarian, Paul says, until Christ came. Now we don't need a disciplinarian or a custodian or a caretaker, but we have a personal relationship of being a son and daughter of God, a brother and sister of Jesus, living by his Spirit. In the grace and relationship Jesus brings to us, we are no longer with the babysitter. We have the Spirit of Jesus. We can call out Abba, Father now. The relationship is not mediated anymore by the law or indeed anything else. The coming of Jesus changes everything from a kind of waiting to being. Thus, the law is no longer operative in the custodian sense it was. Our son and daughterness is fulfilled. Well, that's perhaps a bit dense. The point is that Jesus is the bringer of a new relationship with God. He removes all obstacles to our experience of God as Father. He encourages us to be children spiritually and gives us our true identity and calling as children. And he is our reconciliation to the Father taking upon himself our every sin and failing, our prodigal is turned to a pure child through and by grace. So let me end. It's John who adds the one missing piece here for us. It's simple. To believe. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. Pretty sweet deal. Thank baby Jesus. Thank the love that holds us now and never shall end. And thank Abba, Father, now and forever.